Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Romans chapter 9, verses 30 through chapter 10, verse 4. The Reverend Brian Gauthier is preaching. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Romans chapter 9 and 10. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it, that is, of righteousness that is by faith. But that Israel who pursued the law that would lead to righteousness did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Righteousness by faith and not by works of the law. At the end of Romans 9 and beginning of chapter 10, Paul addresses this distinction as he talks about the Jews and the Gentiles. Here Paul really deals with two topics. The first is that Israel pursued righteousness as if it were based on works and consequently failed. Righteousness comes by means of Christ, which is received through faith and not works. Therefore, Christ became a stumbling block to them. The second, as Paul continues in chapter 10, is his desire for the Jews to be saved. So how exactly do we arrive at this situation in Romans 9 and 10? What does Paul mean? Why does Paul mention the Jews here? Let's go back. Moses recounts how Israel was Yahweh's chosen servant to bring the holiness of Yahweh to the world and the world to the holiness of Yahweh. Like the Levites were to Israel, so Israel was to be for the world. Moses writes in Exodus chapter 19, Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possessions among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Having just been rescued by Yahweh from slavery in Egypt, they've now been commissioned to be the Lord's servants. That's what it means to be his chosen people. The prophet Isaiah echoes these words when he describes Israel's role in the world as a servant to bring forth God's justice to the nations in chapter 42 of Isaiah. But very little review is necessary about Israel's history to learn of their utter failure as Yahweh's servants. The prophet writes a little bit later in chapter 42 concerning that Israel that was to be a chosen, royal priesthood and a holy nation. Who is blind but my servant, and deaf as my messenger whom I send? He sees many things but does not observe them. His ears are open but he does not hear. Having ignored the Lord's warning through the voice of the prophets, the Israelites, God's chosen people, devoted themselves to idol worship, resulting in a slow spiral of transformation into the idols that they worshipped, to lifelessness. Yahweh says conclusively of his people in chapter 48 of Isaiah, verse 4, Because I know that you are obstinate, your neck is an iron sinew, and your forehead like brass. The result, as you know your history, was the fall of Jerusalem and a 70-year exile into Babylon. Coming out of Babylon, under Cyrus's decree to return and rebuild, the people of Israel returned with a renewed vigor not to go back into Babylon, into exile. And so the answer to the question, how do we not do that again, was this. Well, we didn't keep the law good enough, which I suppose is in part kind of true. Israel had long abandoned the law of God, instead turning towards and worshiping the idols of the nations that surrounded them. This led to a depravity in the nation. And so that said, coming out of exile, right, the point may not have been keeping the law better than before by our own efforts, right, and thus please God and merit salvation. That may not have been their initial thought, like we can earn God's salvation by keeping the law better. Though one could argue that that's kind of what happened after exile up to the point of Jesus. The problem, though, was a first commandment issue. The people of Israel needed to have no other gods apart from Yahweh. That is to say, they should have feared, loved, and trusted in Yahweh above all things, and for all things, including righteousness. But as you see from Paul in Romans chapter 9, as we see the various interactions between Jesus and the religious leaders throughout the Gospels, that didn't necessarily happen. Righteousness was pursued through trying to keep the law. And I suppose this really shouldn't surprise you, should it? Righteousness by means, other means apart from Christ, is a common error, and one with which Christians often wrestle. Adolf Kerbeli wrote in his book, The Quest for Holiness, he argues that every world religion understands this relationship between the human being and the divine in this way. The human being must find a way to ascend to God in some way. He calls this the three ladders to God. And the three most common he lays out are that of moralism, rationalism, or mysticism. Or we might say, by means of one's hands, head, or heart. And yet each ladder has the same fatal flaw. It's the assumption that a human being can somehow ascend to God. The Bible doesn't talk that way. In fact, the Bible is very clear. Human beings cannot ascend to God or become righteous by any means other than through Christ and by faith. Paul says in Romans 5 that a sinner is an enemy to God. He says in Ephesians chapter 2 that a sinner is dead in his trespasses. Biblically, a human being cannot ascend to God or become righteous before God by means of his hands, his head, or his heart. Righteousness is imputed. It's received by faith through the merits of Christ and Christ alone. And so in Romans 9, Paul explains that the Jews had sought to ascend to God by means of their hands. Whether that was the initial intention or not, that's how things unfolded. By the works of the law, they thought, perhaps if they could tip the scales of divine judgment in their favor and become righteous. Perhaps that's been you at some point as well. Surely a thought has crossed your mind. If I just do a little bit of extra work here or there, or I do this little extra service in my congregation, that's going to set me apart. Or maybe God's going to give me kind of that nod of approval. That's obviously an error. Your hands cannot merit the righteousness of Christ through the doing of the law. Only the pierced hands of Christ are righteous and earn righteousness for us. Or maybe you've thought this, that through the clarity of your thought, with respect to Christian doctrines and the Lutheran confessions. That sets you apart in some way before God. In other words, that theology is a head exercise. And because you can explain it inside out, forward and backward, that somehow that puts you in good with the Lord. Or certainly helps you ascend toward Him. But apart from faith, that does no good. Righteousness is received by faith, and not only by knowledge of God or of the corpus of Christian doctrine. Or maybe you've felt that you're in the right place with God by means of some special experience. You sense that you are somehow validated before Him, or that God loves you more. Or maybe you feel a certain way when you're in worship, and that somehow you're nearer to God or more righteous. This is also a deception. For the heart cannot earn you righteousness before God. Pursuing righteousness by means of the hands, the head, or the heart all lead to the same result. A stumbling over the stumbling stone. Christ is that stone of stumbling and that rock of offense for those who are seeking to earn righteousness apart from faith. For Paul writes at the end of our reading today, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Early in Romans, Paul teaches that righteousness has been manifested apart from the law, Romans 3:21. And then he continues in verses 22 to 24. For there is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. Christ Jesus, the one who brings about righteousness for us. He is actually the fulfillment of Isaiah's servant passages. He is the fulfillment of what Israel was called to be. The second servant song of Isaiah has Yahweh saying of His servant, I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth, 49 verse 6. Whereas that first servant, Israel, took it upon itself to rule the nations and establish itself by the shedding of the blood of others and to seek righteousness by means of the law, the second servant, Jesus, brought light, life, and salvation to the nations through sacrifice and service by the shedding of His own blood on the cross. The third servant song, then, has these words to say about the servants. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out my beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. Isaiah 51, 5 and 6. And then, perhaps the most poignant and familiar words from the servant songs. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, and upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds we are healed. Jesus, and Jesus alone, faithfully brought the holiness of Yahweh to the nations by His word and in His flesh, and by the shedding of the blood brought the nations to Yahweh in righteousness. And He continues doing so. Having been redeemed by the blood of Christ, your sinfulness still clings to your flesh. Having your eyes opened by the gospel, sight restored by the mercy of God in Christ, you continue daily, as Paul states in Romans 7, doing the evil you don't want to do and the good you don't want to do. The good you do want to do, you don't. But Yahweh remains faithful. Faithful to His promises. By remembering Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. By remembering his servant David, he remembered his servants in exile, both the Israelites in 586 and the 70 years following, and you, who were in exile in your own sin. He remembers also his own son's faithfulness, and for his sake, forgives you over and over again. He has plucked you out of captivity to sin, death, and the devil. So stop seeking righteousness by means of the law, by means of your hands, your head, and your heart. Rather, believe in Christ. And finally, follow in Paul's footsteps. As he earnestly and continuously prayed for the Jews, and we might expand this to all those who stumble over the stumbling stone, that their hearts be softened, their eyes opened to believe in Christ, to receive his righteousness, so that Christ, the stumbling stone and rock of offense, becomes the cornerstone of their faith and their confession of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins. Thanks be to God for Christ's faithfulness, and that we are righteous because of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast to Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.